Hello. Thank you for stopping by today. This ministry is here to bring the transforming Word of God with power to you. Many today have questions like, who is this Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ relevant to my life today? What does it mean to be born again? Is the Bible even real, true, and practical? Who is the Holy Spirit? How can I receive my healing miracles? Are healing and miracles even for us today? By the help of the Holy Spirit, Bishop Odolaju will be answering these and many other questions as he teaches the Word of God. Get ready to be inspired, fed, encouraged, healed, and blessed. And now, here's Bishop for today's message.
He's a good father. That's one of my favorite songs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again to feed at your feet. Lord, I turn myself over to you. None of me, but all of you. Lord, I pray that as the word comes this morning, let it be transforming. Let it change. Let it bring revelation. Let it bring insight. And Lord, let us come up higher to the level where you want us to be in Jesus' name. At the end of the day, when we see you, let us hear, thou good and faithful servant. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm used to very interactive type of church, so please indulge me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to say thank you to Pastor Chris and the leadership of this church for the opportunity to share God's word again. I'm very humbled and honored for that privilege. We've been going through this series, Believe. For those who have been participating and been part of it, this is the sixth message in the series, and I'm going to be talking about the church today. But before we get into that, I just want to give us a brief outline of what we've covered so far. We talked about who God is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Trinity. We also talked about that God is a personal God, interested in your personal life, and he has great plans for your life. Amen. We also covered salvation, which is the entrance into the church. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no other ways that we might be saved, no other deity, no other religion through which we might be saved. That's what the scripture says. We also covered that the Bible is the infallible truth of God's word, his thoughts and his plans and his ways. Can you trust it? Can I trust it? Absolutely. We covered that last week. And also, last week we covered our identity in Christ. Who you as a person are in Christ, and what does it mean to be a Christian? Praise the Lord. So that's kind of the journey that we've gone through so far. Today, I'm going to be talking about the church and what we believe about the church. And my message is broken into four segments or four main sections. I'm going to give us a crash course on the founding of the church. I'm going to talk about the function of the church, your role in the church and its growth and expansion, and God's equipment for the task. Amen. So let's get to it. The key question for today's message is, how will God accomplish his plan, or the way I put it, his multifaceted plan of redemption? How will God do that? And the key idea is, I believe the church is God's primary way to accomplish his purpose on the earth. Amen. Our key verse for today's message is Ephesians 4:5. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Praise the Lord. So now I'm going to get into a quick overview, a crash course on the founding of the church. It started this way. God wanted a family. He created Adam and Eve, and they sinned and broke that fellowship. And God wanted that relationship restored. Now, skipping a couple of saints, let's get to Abraham. God's plan consisted of making Abraham's offspring into a great nation, the nation of Israel, which was ultimately pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at that verse, it said, I will make your seed, not seeds, plural, your seed. It was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 12, The Bible said that God called Abraham. And God made a covenant with Abraham and his seed after him. And then God began to relate with man through Israel, prophets, kings, and he began to have relationship with man. Remember, they fell through Adam and Eve, and then that relationship was broken. And then fast forward to the New Testament. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross for you and I. Because before that, he was relating only with Israel. He was not relating with the rest of the world. Now, everybody has access. Amen? Everybody has access, Jews and Gentiles. We now have access into this covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are not saved today, today is the day of salvation. That's what the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. Don't delay. Don't say, I'll do it next week. I'll do it, let the new year comes around and I'll do Thanksgiving, party hard. I'll do Christmas, party hard. And then come January 1, I'm going to get saved. There's no promise. Amen. How do you know you make it to January 1st? Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Help me tell your neighbor, today is the day of salvation. Now, moving forward, Jesus died. Praise the Lord. I like an interactive church. Amen. Amen. You know, in heaven, it's not going to be quiet. So get used to it. Amen. And oh, by the way, I might be your neighbor in heaven, and you know me. We are going to be loud, praising God, walking down the streets of gold and just singing Kumbaya, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. So get used to it. So, and then we move to the day of Pentecost. Jesus told the disciples, don't go, don't do any work until you are endued with power. Because this is not a business. This is not a normal job. This is a spiritual work. You need an endowment of power to do this work. And then on the day of Pentecost, according to Acts 1:8, the Bible said the Holy Ghost came upon them and settled on them. And then they went into all the world and began to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. This same day, the apostles and the followers received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and power. And they spoke with other tongues. Amen. Which is a sign of the Holy Ghost coming on them. They spoke with other tongues. Some churches don't want to talk about that. And then Jesus gave them a charge. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. Amen. So that's the 3-minute crash course on the founding of the church. So before we move forward, what is the church? What is the church? Sometimes it's very good to understand what something is not. So I'm going to tell you what the church is not. And then I'll give you my own definition of what the church is. The church is not your denomination. Uh-oh. The church is not your way or their way. You know, the way of doing things, my way of doing things, all of our way, all of y'all's way of doing things. That's not the church. The church, according to scripture, is the body of Christ. Amen. The family of God. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you talk about the body of Christ, this sometimes confuses people. Like, what do you mean by the body of Christ? The head, the nose, the mouth? I'm going to get into that in a minute. But let's look at a couple of verses from scripture that highlights this. Ephesians 3:14. Bible says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. How many of us have family in this general area? Almost everybody. How many of us have family that do not live in this general area? Maybe they live in Arizona, in, you know, New Mexico, in Africa. Amen. Praise the Lord. The fact that they don't live here doesn't mean they are not your family. The Bible is saying here that the whole family of God in heaven and on earth. So the family of God is in two locations. That's the church. Amen. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily beset us or ensnare us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Talking about the cloud of witness, that's our family in heaven. Amen. You have relatives in heaven. If you are in the family of God, they are there cheering you on and saying, come on, come on, Ronnie. Come on, Pastor Tim. Keep going, keep going, keep running your race. Praise the Lord. So that's the church. So now, with that understanding, This is my definition of the church. The church is an interdimensional family of God located in heaven and earth. Amen? And you have a part in it. Newsflash. You have a part in it. The constitution of the church is the Bible. Irrespective of what you think about it, what your denomination takes out or puts in, adds in, all of that stuff. We see all of that happening. You know, when Jesus started the church, his mind was not to start denominations. That was man. We did that. Amen. It was one family. Praise the Lord. I only have 30 minutes. Now, let's move to the function of the church. The function of the church. So we define what the church is. Now we want to go into the function of the church. The function of the church, number one, is to make disciples. To make disciples of Christ, point people to the cross and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church, or better yet, the Great Commission. And you can find that in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15. Mark 16, verse 15. The Bible said, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Very simple. You believe, you are saved. You don't believe, you are automatically damned. These are the words of Jesus. I'm not cursing. Amen. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. When was the last time you cast out devils? Amen. These are the words of Jesus. Amen. And they shall speak with new tongues. I'm not talking about English or French or German, although there's a component of that. We're going to get into that in a moment, if I have time. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These are the words of Jesus. Out of his mouth. This is the function of the church. Make disciples and do all these other things. And I'm going to get into that in a second and see where you play a part in that. And then the second part of the function of the church is to prepare and develop the church to be ready for the Lord's coming. In other words, building ourselves up in righteousness, holiness, and living right before God. That's part of the function of the church. To preach the truth, whether people want to hear it or not. The truth hurts sometimes. If you look at Galatians 5, 22-23, because of time, I'm just going to spew it out. The Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All this must be developed in your life. And that's why coming to church, hearing the word of God preached, being part of a small group, so that you can grow. That's the function of the church. But who's going to do all these things? We're going to get to that in a second. And then, of course, doing the works of Jesus. The things that Jesus did, he said, go and do the same thing. Go and do likewise. Preach the gospel. Evangelize the world. Bring them into the church. And then, disciple them. Train them up. Why? They're going to find out. And you are part of it. Praise the Lord. So now, I'm going to get into your role in the church. Your own role in the church. I'm going to start in Acts 1:8. Jesus, the word of God says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto both Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. We've had a message on that recently about, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost part of the earth, what that represents. So I'm not going to rehash that. But the Bible is saying you will receive power. We're not talking about, you know, chopping up wood and doing some menial tasks. This is spiritual work. So you need spiritual power to do God's work. You know, sometimes you preach to somebody and they say, yeah, no, I don't want to hear it. But when you go before God and pray, before you go out, then people will listen to what you have to say. And then salvation will come from that. So you need to be equipped with power to be able to deliver God's word. And that's what we need. You need the power of God to do God's work. There's a new movie that's coming out. It's called Axel Ridge. They're doing some commercials about that. It's about this PFC Desmond T. Doss who refused to bear arms during World War II. I just saw some preview of that. And this guy, according to the history, he saved about 75 people without any guns. Praise the Lord. And he himself is still alive. He lived to be an old man before he passed away a couple of years ago. I'm going to tie that back in a moment. Now, when you look at the church, the church started and they were in Jerusalem, you know, doing their thing, singing Kumbaya and having fun, fellowship and all that. But they never went out. They stayed indoors. And Jesus appeared to Peter at the sea one day and said, "Do you love me more than this?" They were fishing. And he said, "Lord, you know, he asked him three times. He said, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my lambs." And then God allowed persecution to come into the church. Scatter, guys. Go to Africa. Go tell them. So that somebody like Bishop will be saved. Praise the Lord. Go to Asia. Go tell them. Go to Europe. Go tell them. So persecution scattered the church. And then everybody now went in different directions. And I'm going to get to a point where you find yourself in this picture. So then when you look at in Acts chapter 9, the Bible said Paul was the chief persecutor of the church. He was number one. He was going about. He had a lot of education. He was a lawyer. He understood the law. He spoke so many languages. So he was going about arresting people and bringing them into prison. And then God arrested him. Amen. On the road to Damascus. And then he became the chief apostle. Praise the Lord. So your past is irrelevant. Help me tell your neighbor, your past is irrelevant. God is speaking about your future. What you've done in the past is irrelevant. Once you get to the cross, you come out of the cross squeaky clean. Amen. Squeaky clean. The blood is red, but once you come out squeaky clean. That's what the cross does for you. But then when you come into the family of God, you are not supposed to come in and just sit down, drink your Kool-Aid or drink your chocolate and just be happy. There's a work that God has for you. Amen. Help me tell your neighbor, there's a work God has for you. If this gospel is going to be preached in all the world, everybody is a part of it. Everybody is a part of it. So then the gospel began to expand and then it went on to other places. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read that. 1 Corinthians 12. There's a reason I have these books here. It's not just for show. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. The Bible says, "For as the body," praise the Lord, "for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one, so also is Christ." I'm reading from the New King James, but it doesn't matter what version you use. "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Verse 15. "If the foot should say, 'Because I am not an hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be?" Picture that. If your whole body is an eye, one giant eye, you, like my daughter would say, where would the smelling be? Praise the Lord. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as he pleased. I want you to pay attention to that. As he pleased. Verse 19. "And if they are all one members, they will be one body also." Because of time, I'm going to stop right there. Now, let me read verse 24. "But are presentable..." No, verse 27. Verse 27. "Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed this in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gift of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." And then he asks the questions, "Are these all apostles?" No. "Are these all prophets?" No. And then, I'm going to stop right there. Praise the Lord. So, you look at the analogy that God was using here to describe the body of Christ. That's why I asked the department to kind of give us a picture. These are some of the organs that you have inside your body. I'm not sure which one is the spleen or which one is the lungs. So because we don't see, Pastor Tim, because I don't see your lungs, do we want to just shut it down and tell it not to work anymore? If that happens, what do we have? An illness. That's what we call a disease. That person will go to the doctor to get it fixed. Well, if every member of the body is working in unison, then you have a healthy person. They go from place to place, they eat, the food digests, you have your reproductive organ, you have your skeletal system, you have your nervous system, everything working together. That's what makes you a functional human being. People that are in a hospital, it's not because they just love the place, they love the movies that they show them and the bed. They don't like their home bed, they just prefer, they like to hang out with nurses, right? No! The reason they're in the hospital is because they want to fix the part that is not working so that they can get back to their lives. Well, the same thing with the body of Christ. You are members, individuals. And the verses we just read, he gave us the picture of an eye, a nose, a leg, an hand. What are you? Are you an eye? If you're an eye, you don't need the dexterity of an hand, right? Because you need dexterity to carry things, to hold things, if you're an hand. So for an eye, you need to be able to see. And we are going to get into the reason I'm telling you all of that in a second. So then, you look at all these functions that we see in the human body. What part am I? God has a place for you in his body. And I also believe, because of time, there is a timing, a location, a geographical location, and a place in God's assignment for your life. Amen? There's a timing and a location and a place in God's assignment for your life. There's an example that I will give us in Acts 16. Let's look at Acts 16. If you have a Bible, this is church. Remember, you are a part of God's family, and the constitution of the family is the Bible. Acts 16. Look at verse 6. Acts 16 verse 6. And the Bible says, now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Wait a minute. God don't love people in Asia? Amen? Of course he does. There's a time and a place in the mind of God for everything. If you are looking for planning, God is the master architect. Amen? So God will call you and send you to South America. And you say, why, God? I can do work here. I know people here. They know me here. But there's a place and a time in God's mind. So I'm telling you this morning, God has a place and an assignment for you. If this church, this work of God is going to expand and grow like God has planned, you need to take your place. If you are a spleen and you decide you want to be an eye, we got a problem. Houston, we got a problem. You know, can you imagine a spleen replacing your eyeball? Not cool. So God has a place for you. You need to find that. You need to find that place. Maybe it's music ministry. Maybe to start a pregnancy thing that helps people with pregnancy. Maybe to work in this church and serve in this church in whatever capacity God has called you to do. You need to find that. And I'm going to say this. Tick tock. Time is running. When I started the message, it was 9:30. Now it's about 10 minutes to 10. Where did the time go? What happened? I still got many things to say. Time is going. I'm not trying to be funny. You are going to stand before your maker one day. Well, there's this message that I saw on Facebook recently. It was produced by John Bevere. How many of us know John Bevere ministry? It was about 4 minutes long. And this guy was like presenting himself like he was God. And then he called this lady up, or this guy up. He said, Evangelist Tim, come forward. And Tim came forward. He's like, I think you got it wrong, Lord. I'm not evangelist. I'm an architect, or I'm an accountant. I did a lot of work to support ministries and to support. And Jesus said, no, evangelist Tim, come forward. I've called you to Asia. And according to my record, you are supposed to bring in 7 million souls into the kingdom. Give an account. But God, I did this, I gave all this money. No, that's not what I called you to do. You got to find your place now. Today is the day of salvation. Praise God. You got to find your place. If your place is preaching, get out and start preaching. If your place is, you know, open a soup kitchen and help some people, get out and start doing it. Time is not waiting for you. Let me tell you, today is the youngest you will ever be. Today is the youngest you will ever be and is the oldest you've ever been at the same time. Think about it. Is the youngest you will ever, because by tomorrow you'll be a day older. And is the oldest you have ever been. Get busy. Get busy. Get after what God has put in your heart. How do you find that? For example, how do you know you're supposed to leave and come down to Leland and start a church and call it Hope Center? Can you show me that here? Can you show me where that is written here? No, it's not there. So how am I supposed to know where I'm supposed to go? You get in your face before God. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. The Bible says it's the Spirit of truth. It will bring revelation to you. We will teach you where you should go, what you should do. Because it's the one that made the plan. And guess what? Remember when we were reading the verse, I told you to pay attention to as he pleased. Many times we want to do what we like. I don't want to be an eye. Gross. I want to be a mouth. You know, I want to be in the forefront so that people will see me and then you hear me. God called you to be an intercessor behind the scene to pray for the church. You know, think about the election now. Everybody got an opinion. And everybody should have an opinion. But what have you done in the place of prayer? Amen. You know that if the church in America will stand up and pray for this nation, we can turn this nation around. Oh, because we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. God that we serve is stronger than the enemy. If we will get together in our face before God, we can turn things around. Amen. The White House is not the one running things. God is still the God of the universe. He rules and reigns in righteousness. So if you and I would take our place, you know, think about the army. Oh, my time is going. Think about the army. When you join the army, they don't tell you, now you're a part of the army, you need to go to Walmart and go shop for your gears, you know, get your bulletproof gears, get your gun, get your boots. No, they give you everything you need. The same thing in the family of God. God equips you for the task. So if you are supposed to be an eye, everything it takes to be an eye will be given to you. You don't need the dexterity of an hand to be an eye. So God is not going to give you that. We are going to see that in scripture. The Bible said, God gives you the equipment to do the task. Praise the Lord. My time is really going. Where did the time go? I really need like 2 hours. Praise the Lord. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, we read about that a little bit in the passage we read. It talks about the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then it talks about helps and governments. What are those in the church? For example, are you going to find music ministry in the Bible? You see that in the Bible? You know, you see David, the psalmist. But you're not going to find that in the Bible. You're not going to find the guy, you know, the greeters. You're not going to find that in the Bible. But it's valid ministry. Amen. You're not going to find open a soup kitchen in the Bible. It's a valid ministry. That's where you get your place, your face, by the carpet before God in prayer. God, I'm part of this interdimensional family. What's my place? And you get busy doing it. You get busy doing it. You get busy doing it. There's another piece that I need to really speak about before I round up today because time is going. If you go to, praise the Lord. Oh my goodness, where did the time go? Look at Romans 11:29. The Bible says, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God doesn't change his mind. The moment God called you, in fact, Jeremiah said, when I was in my mother's womb, you called me before I was in there. So what you are going to be, the plan of God for your life has already been decided. It's not your decision, it's your discovery. And once you discover it, you pursue it with everything you got. With everything that you have. You pursue it, everything that you have. So when you are doing your part, the eye is doing its part, the nose is doing its part, the legs are doing their part, then you have a functioning body. healthy, moving the gospel forward. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, my time is gone, so I'm going to do this now. So I've got this book here, the Believe series. Many of us say, I don't like to read books. I don't like to read books. Well, the Bible is a book. Get over it. Praise the Lord. Read it. Now, I've got this book. I don't know if you've seen this book or know about this book, God's Generals. They detail the story of some of God's generals in the last 100, 150 years. What they did, their life, their mistakes, things like that. I want to tell you, the record of this, about these individuals, may not be exactly what God recorded in heaven. Am I true? Am I telling the truth? This is man's opinion of what they did. But what is God's opinion of what you have done? Heretofore, what's God's record for you? If God was going to open a book about you and say, hey, Tim, what is there? What is there right now? And what do you want to write in there? I have another book here. It's called The Assignment by Mike Mudock. You want to find God's place for your life? This is a good book I would recommend. The Assignment by Mike Mudock. And I also have this book, Following God's Plan for Your Life by Kenneth Hagin. There are so many resources. Now, God may have told Pastor Tim, for example, to write a book. Maybe he has, actually, to write a book. And you're saying, well, who's going to read it? Nobody knows me. I'm not T.D. Jakes. I'm not Billy Graham. You know, how many people will read it? Maybe 100 people. Maybe that's all God wants you to reach. Come on now. Get busy doing it. Maybe God has placed something in your heart to do and you're giving all the excuse in the world, ifs, ands, buts, and get the butt out of the way. Get busy doing it. I'm very serious about this. And you can tell I'm really, really passionate about it. Get busy doing whatever God has called you to do, because when you stand before Him, He's not going to ask you about what you did. He's going to ask you about what He called you to do. Praise the Lord. And when all of us, everybody in the body, is doing what He has called us to do, then the whole body will be growing up and moving forward the way God intends for it to do. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to give us one final thing before I wrap up. You know, the word stewardship comes to mind. Stewardship. You know, when we talk about stewardship, we always think about money. It's not just money. The giftings that God has placed in your life. Maybe you are an encourager. Somebody is discouraged, you can bring them out. Maybe that's your calling. But you know, you are too busy, you know, going about your life, you don't want to do it. The gifts and the call of God are without repentance. Remember, God's plan for Israel was not for them to have a king. And they kept whining and whining and whining. Said, God, give us a king, give us a king, just like the other nations. Okay, God said, okay, that's it. I'm going to give you a king. But you're not going to like it. So God gave them Saul. Now, look at the life of Saul. Saul, God gave him several assignments. And then one final assignment, God said, go and kill this, the Amalekite. Wipe them out. And what did he do? He disobeyed God. He kept some things back. He said, we want to use it for sacrifice. And that's where we get the phrase, it's better to offer obedience than sacrifice. Amen? And then God told Samuel, He said, how long would you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from being king? Go to the house of Jesse. I've selected a guy there that will replace him. The reason I bring that up is there's a David for every Saul. You don't want to do it, God is going to raise up another person. But you're still going to be judged for what you didn't do. Because the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. The gifts and the calling of God, God doesn't change His mind. He won't say, well, because of your life circumstances and the things you went through and all the dramas that has gone on, yeah, maybe I should amend it. No, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God doesn't change His mind. And it's been made up before you are even conceived. Jeremiah told us that. So then David showed up and God replaced him. For every Saul, there's a David. Amen. I want you to get before God. Get alone before God. Stop putting it off. TikTok, TikTok. Stop putting it off and do what God has called you to. Because when you do, the whole body will begin to function well. Praise the Lord. Now, as far as your conduct and your place in the family of God, the Bible says the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. 2 Timothy 2:19. The Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So maybe you have sin in your life. You're coming to church. Nobody sees it, right? Nobody knows what you do when you are home, when you are by yourself. But the word of God says the standard, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone that calls the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So if you have habits in your life that nobody knows about, it's time to get before God and repent. Oh, the blood is still flowing at Calvary. Amen. The blood is still flowing. You are a member of the family. You know, we are not going to kick you out. You are a member of the family, but there is a conduct that God expects from you. These are the things that makes up the church. Amen. It's not just coming to church. That's a big part of it. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering together of my people. You need to come to church. But what has God put in your heart to do? But you have all these excuses, all these reasons why you are not doing it. It's time to quit it and get busy doing it. You know, we wrote a book several years ago. And it's not like, you know, a bestseller. It was a bestseller for a while. But then, it's not like a bestseller like you would call a national bestseller. But I don't care. God told me to write the book and I wrote the book. God tells you to do something, you do it. It's not about the numbers. It's not about the volume. It's about obeying God. Amen? That's what the church is. So if you are here this morning and you are not born again, you are not in the family of God yet, or better yet, you are in the family but you've gone astray. It's time to get before God and to repent, to come home, like the prodigal son. You know, when you go to a Benny Hinn crusade or Billy Graham crusade, you know what they do? They tell people to come forward. You know how they crucified Jesus? He wasn't in some dark alley somewhere. It was publicly. Public shame. I don't know. This is just me. I don't like all this, pray quietly in your seat. All of that stuff. I don't subscribe to that. Get here. Because Jesus was crucified publicly. You know, Pastor Chris said something several weeks ago. He said your relationship with God could be private. Maybe I'm quoting it wrong, but leave out your Christianity in the closet, outside the closet. You know, some people are coming out of the closet now, but that's a different story. Whether you're in the closet, in the bedroom, in the living room, outside, leave your Christian, because God is keeping record. He's keeping record. So if the church is going to move forward and march forward and possess the gate of the enemy, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. If that's going to happen, you have to take your place. I have to take my place. Let us pray. If you are here this morning, you want to be born again, I want you to come out publicly. Amen. Jesus was crucified publicly. If you want prayer for any reason, I want you to come forward. Come forward. Don't hide. Don't hide. Enough of that. You know, time is going. A day will come that it will just be you and your maker. There will be no church member. There will be no family members. It's just you one-on-one, mano a mano. What are you going to report back to him? What are you going to report back to him? Have you fulfilled the purpose he made you? When he saved you with his own precious blood at Calvary, have you fulfilled the purpose for which he did that? Bible says, for this reason the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. Have you fulfilled that? Or we are making excuses? Oh, I'll do it next week. Next week turn into next month, and then into next year, and then a decade passes by and we don't do nothing. It's time for you to wake up and start doing what God has called you to do. For in so doing, the body of Christ will be enhanced. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I bring myself and everyone under the sound of my voice, those who have been watching on the internet, those who are here right now. There's a reason that you created us, formed us in our mother's womb, and you gave us a gifting and a talent and a purpose. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that we take the responsibility to come after you, to come before your face, to find that purpose for which you have redeemed us, and the grace to pursue it to the end. Father, we receive this morning in Jesus' name. And if there's anyone in the house that needs to be born again, and maybe you are still shy, that's okay. Come later, let's pray. Don't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised to any man. Don't wait till tomorrow. Many people have said that in the past. I'll do it next week. Don't worry, I really mean it. But they don't make it to next week. Today is the day of salvation.
Thank you for being with us for today's broadcast. We believe this message has been a blessing to you. Don't forget to visit our website, biccconline.org, for more resources like books, videos, blogs, free gospel tracts, and more. We also invite you to subscribe to our social media feeds to get up-to-date messages, blogs, and upcoming event information from this ministry. Until our next broadcast, remember, God loves you with an everlasting love. Jesus is Lord, and He is your healer.